I do, you know me. I'm a window you see through. When all the world is not at home, you're waiting for me at the door, and you let me in. It's all beautiful. When I stumble, you bruise. When I hurt myself, it hurts you. When I make you cry, it makes me wanna never fall again. The smaller I am, the larger your love. You know me, everything I do. I'm a window you see through. The most foolish thing I could ever do is think that I could lie to you and put up walls, see through them all. 'Cause you know me, yeah. You know me. The secrets and the scars, that's how into me you are. Oh, 'cause you know me.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters of the Uhuru, sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, November the 6th, 2011. And sisters and brothers, we are yet in the book of Revelation. We're talking about prophecy fulfilling. We're talking about the reality that we are the Christ forces and that we have defeated the Antichrist forces, and we see the Spirit of Christ moving all over the earth. Now we're going to go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 16. And we're going to continue to see what Jesus is trying to tell us of revolution. Now, we recall what we said concerning the Nicolaitans, that Jesus hated that doctrine. Jesus does not like, he hates, he pursues with hatred this doctrine, destruction of people. Look at the systems that we live under. Look at how even your NGOs and World Food Federation and different groups of that sort manipulate food and cut off people from food. Look at these austerity programs, International Monetary Fund. They come into your country and tell the leader to take the wealth, like the scribes and the Pharisees did with Caesar. Take your wealth, leader, take the wealth of the nation. We'll keep you fat. Make sure you funnel all the wealth to us, the ruling class and families, and destroy the people. Don't invest in education. Don't invest in health care. Don't invest in the people. Cut the people off. Look at what's going on inside of the United States of North America now. Haile Selassie said, that which we see going on in Ethiopia, we're going to say that which we have seen going on in Africa, in the third world nations, we see it going on in America now. That which has been suffered by the ghettos of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel, along with the third world nations, Now we see the middle class suffering the same. Everything going on amongst poor people everywhere, you see the middle class being squeezed. You see those same wicked forces that Haile Selassie was talking to have turned their eyes on the working class, the middle class, want to cut Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, cut education. They have students under so much debt that students, graduating students, 85% of them are living with their parents, can't go out and get a job, can't start a family because they're under so much debt. This is the doctrine of Nicolaitan. This is destruction of people. The sister, my beautiful wife, was saying to the Sunday school a couple of weeks ago in our church that the system is not geared for you to go and live a nice life, start a family, grow a family. The system is not geared that way. The system is geared with the philosophy of Nicolaitan. Nicolaitan means destruction of people. The system is destroying people. Jesus hates this system, hates that doctrine. And so Jesus tells us and tells those who hold on to such doctrine to repent, or else I will come. Who will come? Jesus will come. Christ will come unto thee quickly. This is Revelation chapter 2 and verses 6 and verse 16. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. You don't want Jesus to fight you. You don't want Christ to fight you with the sword of his mouth. Jesus says he will come quickly and fight and make war with you and we and us who hold on to the doctrine of destruction of people. We who hold on to 911, this fictitious narrative that is geared so that we will be maneuvered into supporting destruction of people. Nicolaitan. Jesus will fight us, will fight you, will fight me if we continue to hold on to the doctrine destruction of people. Jesus means liberty. Jesus means deliverance. Jesus means health and wealth. You see the condition of the people. So when you say Jesus, or when you say Yahshua, which is the root, African Hebrew root, that's what you're saying. When you say you preach Jesus, you really are saying that you preach liberty and deliverance and the return of health and wealth to the masses of the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy. That's what you're saying. Yahshua, Jesus, also means the vengeance of the Most High, the vengeance of God, vengeance. Vengeance of God on the ruling class and ruling families. Vengeance of the Most High on Caesar and Rome. Vengeance of those sellout petty bourgeoisie elite scribes, Pharisees, Herodians who destroyed the people, destruction of people, Nicolaitan, destroyed the people on behalf of Caesar and Rome. And did you know that it was against the law for the ancient nation of Israel, African Hebrew Israelite nation, to be ruled by Caesar, to be ruled by Rome? It was against the law. Did you know that it was against the law for the African Hebrew sisters and brothers to be enslaved to foreigners? Did you know that according to the law, you had to fight for the freedom of your sister and brother? You had to redeem your sister or brother, remove them from slavery, bring them back into the fold? Did you know that was the law? That was God's law. That was the law of the ancient African Hebrew Israelite nation. So Yahshua means deliverance from all of that wickedness. That's who's coming to fight us if we don't repent and begin to organize and stand with our sisters and brothers as we deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. Christ, we're talking about who's going to come and fight us. Jesus Christ will come. We just dealt with the definition of Jesus or Yahshua. Now let's talk about the definition of Christ. Christ, Messiah. Christ, coming from the Greek Christos, means to anoint with oil. That oil that ran down the leader that you see in church, they take the oil, they anoint people for tasks, missions, anoint when you pray. That word anoint is Christ or Christos. So you're Christing the person. The person is Christed. Coming from the African Hebrew word Mashiach, which gives us our English Messiah. The African Hebrew Israelite king, all of them were anointed. The prophet poured the oil on the African Hebrew Israelite king. Messiahed them, Christed them. For what? Christ, Messiah, Christos, Messiah, means the spirit and anointing. To do what? What's the oil represent? It represents the fact, the reality, that the African Hebrew Israelite king and leader took a pledge to fight on behalf of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from the oppressor, no matter who functioned as the oppressor at any given time. That's what Christ means. And so this is who will come and fight you and me when we take on the doctrine of destruction of people. Jesus Christ will come and fight us. How will he fight? With the sword. With the sword that is in his mouth. He says, I will fight you with the sword of my mouth. He's fighting you with his tongue. He's fighting you and me with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. He's fighting us and you and me with the word that is gained from study of the universe. He is fighting, you see, the word of God. The first preacher of the word of God was the universe. Psalm 19 and 1 teaches us that the universe declares, or the heavens declare, the glory of God. So the first preacher, the first teacher is the heavens, the universe, the creation. They are the first teacher and preacher of the word of God. And our African ancestors taught that the whole universe and creation are constructed on Mayat. That beautiful black woman represented Mayat. She had wings. She was beautiful. She was gorgeous. And she represented truth, justice, and righteousness. So now, the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, first taught by the universe, represented by Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness. So this is how Jesus will come, with truth, with justice, with righteousness. And let me go to Hebrews 4 and 12 right quick. For the word of God, this is that word that is in the mouth of Jesus, that is on the tongue of Jesus. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. This word of God is that powerful. It's sharper than any weapon. I heard my minister Louis Farrakhan say he didn't need weapons. He has the word of God. We have God. We have the word of God. It is sharper. It is greater than any weapon of warfare, any weapon of mass destruction. This word of God is so great that it has the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers running in fear, trying to see what they can do to continue their hoodwinking of the masses, but it won't work. The people are waking up. The people have the Christ spirit in them. We have the Christ spirit in us, and we are rising up and waking up, and we are speaking this truth. For the word, 3056, logos, speech, a word uttered by a living voice. Watch this. The living God, with a living word, with a living voice, speaking through our living voices. Watch this. This word of God is so great when you understand, when we understand. This word that is coming from the Most High. The word of who? God. 2316. On the Greek side. Theos. Now, Theos, did you know that Theos means God or goddess? It means God and goddess, because Yahweh means father and mother. Numbers chapter 11, Moses addresses Yahweh as having the attributes of begetting, which is the father, and conceiving, which is the mother. Yahweh, Yad-Heh-Bah-Heh, means father and mother producing offspring. Yahweh is father and mother. So Theos in the Greek, coming off of Yahweh means God or Goddess, God and Goddess, Father and Mother. So, the Word of God. The Word of, and you know that the gods and the goddesses are the Elohim. But the Word of God is quick. 2198. This word quick. Zao. Quick to live, to breathe, to be among the living. Not lifeless, not dead. So what the scripture is saying is that the Word of God has life. The Word of God is not dead. The Word of God has real life and true life. The Word of God is active. See, what we can learn when we go into the definitions of these words is quick, it's alive, and powerful. 1756. Energes means to be active. So the Word of God is active. Another definition, effectual, has effects in the process. E-F-F-E-C-T. That word effect has to do with having to do with the process of affecting life, affecting circumstances, not after the fact, but before and during the effect. Not after the fact, but before and during the fact, during the process, not after the process is finished, but before and during the process. Effectual power. Okay. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Dividing, 3311. Meris mos. Division, partition, separation. So the Word of God is coming to separate something. We're talking about the system. We're talking about the Word of God coming to destroy a wicked, rotten system. All right. Dividing asunder of soul. Of soul. 5590. Soul. Suke. The breath. The life of. The vital force which animates the body and shows itself in breathing. So what we're talking about, sisters and brothers, is that this wicked system is alive and breathing, has life, has force, and is animated. But the Word of God is coming to destroy this wicked system. It was Roman Caesar then. It's the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and their puppets today, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Okay, and of the joints. 719, this word joints, harmos, masculine noun, joining, a joint. All right, so the system has a joining or a unity about it. But the Word of God is dividing life from the system and dividing the joints and the unity of the system. Look at what the sisters and brothers are doing in the streets, in Oakland, in Wall Street, in New York, all over America, and all over the earth. They are rising up to fight. Even in Libya as we speak, everyone has not thrown in the towel. Notice how it took America and Britain and Italy and France and the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers from February to October to overthrow Gaddafi, because Gaddafi and his sisters and brothers were fighting this wicked system, and Gaddafi would go on air and tell the truth about who was in Libya, CIA, Al-Qaeda, trying to overthrow his government to undo the good that he was trying to do for Africa. The point I'm making is that sisters and brothers all over the earth are fighting this system, inspired by the Word of God. That Word of God is causing the system to be divided from its life and divided from its unity and divided from its marrow. That marrow, muelos. That marrow has to do with that portion of the bone that is... When it's in its correct state, is liquidy, if I have it correct, and is crucial in liquefying the joints so that the joints may operate correctly and be a conduit for life in the joints and the bone. When people need bone marrow, that is something that is very crucial that person needs when they need bone marrow. So what we are speaking about is that the Word of God is greater than any weapon that is able to divide the system from life and from animation, from that which is giving it life, divide the system from that which is unifying it, and divide the system from that marrow, that all-important ingredient that gives liquidity and life to it. The system causes us to be divided so that they may be united, so that they may gain life from causing our death. Where the Word of God comes to right the wrong and give us life and cause death to the system, and is a discerner, 2924, of thoughts, kritikos, relating to judging, fit for judging, skilled in judging. The Word of God knows what we're thinking. The Word of God knows what the ruling class and families are thinking. They know, the Word of God knows the intents of the heart, the intents, 1771. Enoia, act of thinking, meditation. The Word of God is able to cause us to even understand what is in the minds of the wicked ruling class. 2588, thoughts of the heart. Cardia, the heart, the organ in the animal body, which is the center of circulation of the blood. All right, hence was regarded as the seat of physical life. So what we're looking at, sisters and brothers, is that the Word of God is able to attack the system, divide life and animation and unity from the system, and causes us to even understand what is in the mind and thought process of those that are in power. My minister Farrakhan did a message years ago about the mind of Bush. We're also talking about the mind of Obama today, and how he is just as much a puppet as Bush. And so this is the Word of God that is coming to fight us if we continue to support this fictitious narrative of 911, if we continue to support the doctrine that is destruction of people. We're going to go ahead and take our last break, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Villain, even at my best, you're still my greatest enemy. Good intentions never saved a soul, they never changed reality. You had to die for me, cause I'm only human. Try so hard and still get lost. Thank you.
Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, November the 6th, 2011. Today is revelation. Today we are living the time of revelation. Everything that revelation is prophesying or has prophesied, we are living. Prophecy is fulfilling. The Christ forces are rising up against the Antichrist forces, and we are defeating the Antichrist forces. The Antichrist forces are rising up against the Christ forces, but the Antichrist forces, we are defeating them. Let me move quickly to one of our Sunday school lessons. St. Matthew chapter 5, October 30th lesson. The lesson we had on October 30th, the Beatitudes, Jesus. Everything Jesus did was to fight Caesar, to fight Rome, to fight the wicked ruling class and families, to fight the Roman Empire, to fight the scribes and the Pharisees, who were petty bourgeoisie sellout elites that had sold the people out to Rome in opposition and controversy of the law of God, which said that Israel could not be ruled by a foreign power, a foreign king, could not be enslaved by a foreigner, that by law you had to fight for the freedom of your brother, your sister, redeem them, remove them from slavery. And so we say the whole world is Israel, spiritually, and that we will not tolerate slavery anywhere on the planet. And we pledge to fight the oppressor, to fight the wicked ruling class with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. We declare that we will work for the unity and organization of all of the oppressed internationally. And we have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Yahshua. Now, so when Jesus begins to teach these Beatitudes, he is making a political statement. Because Caesar told a falsehood, told a lie, told an untruth by saying Caesar said that Caesar was Lord and Savior, peace bringer, son of God, civilization bringer. No, Caesar, you are son of the devil. You are a colonizer, a killer. You're a thief. And we don't love the fact that you have the doctrine of Nicolaitan, which is destruction of people. So Jesus rises up as a true son of God. A son of God, we'll see in the lesson, is a peacemaker, if I have it right. Yes, a son of God, a child of God, is a peacemaker. So Jesus rises up to say, no, I'm a peacemaker. I'm a son of God. And these are sons and daughters of God. They're peacemakers. And we are going to make peace. In other words, you have caused Caesar, you have caused dissension in our communities. You have caused sister to fight sister, brother to fight brother, so on and so forth. We are going to go into our communities and make peace. And we are going to fight you, Caesar and Rome, with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. So Jesus, making a political statement against Caesar, talks about when seeing, this is chapter 5, verse 1, when seeing of Matthew, when seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. The mountain means power. The mountain means government. Where Jesus represents the Most High. The Most High is the most powerful force and entity in the whole universe. And the mountain, Jesus represents that great Most High mountain of the Most High government from the Most High. In direct opposition to Caesar and his little pump mountain and pump power. When Jesus, it says, when he was set, his disciples came to him. Now that word set, we talked about last week, last session, S-E-T, means that Jesus is taking the kingdom from one and conferring it onto another. So this word means that Jesus, by his teaching, you see, he didn't come with weapons. He came with the word of God, which is greater than a weapon. Yes, some of the disciples had swords. But the word of God is greater than any weapon that you can fashion. Because without the word of God, you would not have the material that you are using to fashion a weapon. No word of God, no creation, no nothing. And so everything we make is from creation. And so everything that we make has to bow to the word of God, because we would not have it if it was not for the word of God creating and manufacturing from the unseen that which we can see that we call creation. And so Jesus is taking the kingdom from Caesar and Rome and giving it to the people by teaching that knowledge that would disconnect the people's minds from Caesar and organize the people so that Caesar and his power and his kingdom, which is Satan's kingdom, may be overthrown. Jesus opened his mouth. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Look, the people who are poor, impoverished, the people who are oppressed, Jesus says they are blessed because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Theirs is the authority. That word kingdom means authority, power to rule, so on and so forth. So Jesus is saying that Caesar is illegitimate, that the power to rule Jesus is giving to the people. The kingdom of heaven. We said that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens are the first teachers of science, knowledge and wisdom and understanding coming from the Most High. And so this kingdom of heaven, this authority of heaven, this power to rule that we get from studying creation, studying the heavens, understanding truth, justice, and righteousness. Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why are we mournful? Because of the condition that we see that the people are in. We are mournful because of warfare and bloodshed. My Sunday school teacher says something very profound. Something very revolutionary to a traditional Christian. He said, from his perspective, when he sees America killing leaders and killing people, he says he finds himself at least praying for the families of those who have suffered assassinations, warfare, bloodshed, and killing by America, Britain, and the wicked powers. He says he is not one of those who goes into the street to dance about someone being killed by the system. That is revolutionary. That's a revolutionary thought for a traditional Christian. And so what we are looking at is that the people need to be comforted. And that the only way that we can truly be comforted and cease mourning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, cease being mournful, is that the condition which is causing us to be in such state of mind is done away with. So Jesus is saying that he and his disciples and those that follow him are working to do away with such condition. And the sisters and brothers in the streets today have that Christ mentality, are living out the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is why Caesar and Rome and the scribes and the Pharisees hated Jesus. Look, we got to look at Israel as being not this nation state of Israel. That's a fake imposter Israel. But the ancient Israel represented the world, the earth, the whole of the people. And that the earth is for the meek. The earth is for those who are poor and locked out. The earth, by law, could not be sold to a wicked foreigner. And even within the nation of Israel, after 7 years, the land went back to its original owner. And at the end of 50 years, there was a great jubilee, and all debts were forgiven, and land returned back to the original families. Because land, earth is for the people. The earth is for the meek. The earth is for the sisters and brothers who have been locked out. And so Jesus is talking about returning the earth to the poor, the afflicted, the needy, the oppressed, the meek. That's why Caesar and Rome and the scribes and the Pharisees killed Jesus. That's why those same wicked forces killed Minister Malcolm X, killed Dr. King, killed Medgar Evers, killed those four little girls in Mississippi, I believe it was. Threatened our ancestors night and day. In the South, Black Panthers all over the nation with death. They were threatened with that because they rose up to say that the earth is for the meek, that the earth, the land, the wealth, the resources are for the poor. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at this, sisters and brothers. The people wanted righteousness. Now, the word righteousness in the African Hebrew language is more expansive than the word righteousness in the Greek language. The word in the African Hebrew is tzedek. Tzedek. Okay? Remember Melchizedek or Melchizedek? Tzedek. All right. Tzedek not only means righteousness, but it means justice. So Jesus is telling the people, you thirst and you hunger for justice, for righteousness. You want to be free of Caesar and Rome. Jesus is saying, this day that you hunger for shall be fulfilled in your eyes, in your sight, as you live. And this day that we hunger for truth, justice, and righteousness, mayat, we are living in the day of fulfillment of what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. This is the day that the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers are the loser. The ruling class are the loser. The bankers, the Wall Street are the loser. This system is the loser. And we are looking at the fulfillment of righteousness that we hunger for, truth, justice, and righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This system has no mercy. This system, the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers want to only kill and kill and kill and use their puppets to do so. But blessed are the merciful. We look at our sisters and brothers and we have a merciful heart and we extend mercy. And we shall obtain mercy. We are acting in opposition to what the system wants us to do. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We shall see God face to face when we look and see that God resides in our sisters and our brothers internationally. When we raise up the oppressed, when we look at the poor beggar on the street, the poor veteran coming home from doing the bidding of these wicked ones that we're talking about, but they come home, have no job, have no home, are poor and destitute. When we see God in them and respect them enough to fight on their behalf and raise them up to dignity. When we see God within each other, when we see the father and the mother within each other, when we see God and goddess within each other, when we see Yahweh within each other, when we see Christ within each other, when we understand this reality, we will be looking at God face to face every minute, every second, every day of our lives, because the Most High is in all of the Most High's creation. Every portion of creation has God in that portion of creation. There is nothing that is dead. Everything is alive. We're just not able to see it unless we get a microscope and see it on the molecular level. But every portion of creation is animated with the Spirit of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It is only we who are willing to go and make peace. Are we the Elohim, the gods and the goddesses, children of the Most High? This is a direct affront to Caesar. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted because we dare to stand and oppose a wicked system. Going through affliction because we dare to stand against the Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. We are the blessed ones. We are they who have the kingdom of heaven here and now. And Jesus is giving credit to those past revolutionaries that stood up. Don't you know that when Jesus was growing up as a child, there were many that led revolutions, but Caesar crushed them? Jesus is saying that their memory is blessed. And we say today, blessed are we and they and those who stand up and fight the oppressor and make peace among the oppressed and squash warfare and squash bloodshed. We are the children of God. We are the Elohim. We are the gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. That's all for this session. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.